पिकअप इज फिनिश्ड। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। So, how are you? We met long back. I am just coming from Kolkata. So we launched Vidyapeeth at Kolkata also. Now it's 10 batches of Vidyapeeth across the globe and India. So His Grace Radhesham Prabhu was there. So it was a wonderful launch. All the devotees at Kolkata are very enthusiastic and happy to be part of Vidyapeeth, like all of you. How are you here? Third canto, 14 chapter done. That is pregnancy. So 15 chapter is Nectarian, description of spiritual world. So last time, when was the last time? 2 months back? 1 month back? 6th August. This is 24th September. So we have discussed a few points about familiarity. Anyone would like to recollect what all we discussed? Something is there. This we have to recap. Familiarity also. Arre wah. Just recap for me. Just in 2 minutes. Avegaram Prabhu? No, no, you are good at recap. Someone else? Huh? So, you tell me. You are taking notes also, no? Familiarity with Guru. Senior devotees, we didn't discuss. Guru also, we hardly touched. We discussed. What is it? Huh? Now you discuss.
About he might be senior with respect to age, with respect to the ashram, or with respect to what? How we should not take him for granted, we should deal with him with respect.
Okay. Bhagavatam. I don't remember discussing that, but this I discussed. Yeah, Bhagavatam. What is that?
We have more chances to take Bhagavatam granted, or even though it is the Lord personality himself, Krishna, Supreme Personality himself, but we may take it as an ordinary book.
Fine. Yeah, familiarity with Bhagavatam we took. So that day we were briefly discussing about our 5S and what is the context of Swadhyaya, Sadachar. So what is the relevance? How come we get inputs from Bhagavatam for our Sadachar? How it is relevant for everyone, right? So it is relevant for people who are very advanced and also those who are suffering in this world. So that is how Bhagavatam has been compiled. And we discussed that the need for Sadachar is to enable us to act appropriately at the spur of the moment. So Uttanapada failed to act appropriately when Dhruva was being insulted. Then Suruchi was successful, Suniti was successful in acting appropriately at the right moment by doing what? What did Suruchi do? What did Suniti do? When Dhruva came to Suniti crying, what did she do? First she said what?
Don't become envious of
First she tried to remove any traces of envious feelings or negative feelings in the heart of Dhruva. That was the immediate response she gave. So that was very glorious. So when some situation comes, immediately we should be able to act appropriately. All our hearing, chanting, shastric study, and our practice of devotional service, everything should lead us to a point where we act appropriately at the spur of the moment. So later, even if we realize that we have done some mistake and we regret for it also, sometimes or many times the mistakes are irreversible. We cannot undo some event. So Uttanapada, it's not that Uttanapada didn't like Dhruva, but he just couldn't control Suruchi. He just didn't do anything to pacify Dhruva. So the situation was out of his hands. And within no time Dhruva left the palace. Then Uttanapada was regretting like anything. I have become so cruel. I have become so indifferent to my wife and child. I have become almost like their killer only. He was regretting. But that regret couldn't bring Dhruva back. So definitely honest regret for one's mistakes is needed and it is very good. However, better than that is trying to act appropriately at the spur of the moment. That's how we are trying to refine our etiquette. So of course we are human beings, we are struggling sadhakas, we are not perfected beings, we commit mistakes. Except Krishna, there is no one in the cosmic manifestation who doesn't commit mistakes. So we commit mistakes and we regret for them. If one is honest, he will regret for the mistakes. But as much as possible, we should try to avoid committing mistakes. That's why we are discussing all this. And familiarity definition we have seen. On a positive way, familiarity is close acquaintance with or knowledge of something. So we try to gain more knowledge and more association with devotees, with Guru, with Bhagavatam, with seniors, with juniors. So we become more familiar. We say familiar, become familiar with the verses. Means you know the meaning of them. So that is a positive way of becoming familiar. There is a positive aspect. The more time you spend, the more familiar you become. But the negative is, because of more time spent with something or someone, there is inappropriate informality or intimacy. That leads to contempt. Familiarity breeds contempt. So extensive knowledge of or close association with someone or something leads to a loss of respect for them or it. So that is the meaning of familiarity breeds contempt. Right? So gopis also were, Vrajavasis are also very much familiar with Krishna. So they, that familiarity is acting on a different level. We can't take inputs from them. Aray, Sudama also fights with Krishna. Why can't I fight with my counselor? Why can't I fight with my guru? So they are devotees. They are fighting with God. So that's happening on a different level. So we cannot take certain portions of the Shastras where some sweet exchanges between great personalities are going on and try to apply it at our sadhaka level in an immature way. For example, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to go to Vrindavan, he was cheated, royally cheated by Nityanand Prabhu. Nityanand Prabhu said, I am also coming to Vrindavan and we are going to Vrindavan. See, this is Yamuna. And he showed Ganga. It's cheating, right? Then he saw Advaitacharya. Advaitacharya said that Mora Bhagya Tume Yaha Ganga Tire, like that he said. Acharya kahe Tumi Yehi Sei Vrindavan. So wherever you are, that is Vrindavan, and it is my fortune that you have come on the bank of Ganga. Technically this is Vrindavan because we are here, but it is not Vrindavan, this is bank of Ganga, not Yamuna. He revealed. And Mahaprabhu said, Nityananda Prabhu kahe Amara Vanchile, I don't remember the exact Bengali. Nityananda Prabhu has cheated me. Right? He showed me Ganga and said it is Yamuna. And they apply logic in front of Mahaprabhu also. So they, Advaitacharya says, actually Nityananda Prabhu did not cheat you. So Ganga and Yamuna flow together. And one side is Ganga, one side is Yamuna. So you can call this Yamuna also. All that is Ganga. Because this side is Yamuna. So like that they are playing with God. Right? So much of familiarity. So we cannot take these kind of exchanges, bring these kind of exchanges to our level and then behave whimsically and frivolously amongst our own devotees. Of course, along with equals, there is some kind of intimacy, some kind of jokes are there, but you cannot extend it beyond certain limits, and you cannot extend it to different layers of hierarchy, spiritual hierarchy. There are some, say, for example, your incharges, siksha gurus, diksha gurus. So there is like a spiritual hierarchy. With your batchmates, you may behave in a certain way. That also has to be limited. That intimacy and informality that may exist within batchmates also has to be within certain boundaries. And definitely that intimacy, informality, familiarity should not extend to other layers. Like that. And later, Mahaprabhu was taken to Shantipur, or Advaitacharya's house, and there was a lot of exchanges between Mahaprabhu, Advaitacharya. Then Mahaprabhu, Advaitacharya and Nityananda Prabhu. So Mahaprabhu says, oh, such a wonderful feast you have arranged, and whoever has offered such wonderful bhoga to the Lord, I am very pleased with him. I take the dust of his lotus feet on top of my head. So he was very happy. So can you give some small plate, patal, so that we eat very less quantity of rice and some sabji, right, some vegetable. That's what Mahaprabhu said. Then Advaitacharya said, see, that whole plate is for you. So the 100 people can eat. Right? It's big banyan, not banyan, what is that, banana, patal, like some 3 patal, I think. So big quantities are placed. One patal for Nityananda Prabhu, one patal for Mahaprabhu, one patal for the Lord, deities. So Mahaprabhu said, I cannot eat so much. And because I cannot eat so much, I may have to leave something. And sannyasi should not leave remnants. Sannyasira dharmanahe rakite uchishta. So sannyasi should not leave remnants. How can you expect me to eat so much? Give me a little bit only. Then see what Advaitacharya says. He says, you eat 54 times in a day in Jagannath Puri. And each time you eat hundreds of items. You see? So don't unnecessarily juggle words. Keep, be silent. I'm telling in a decent way. So please be silent and eat whatever I say. Keep quiet and eat whatever I'm feeding you. Then Mahaprabhu was obliged. He's eating. Right? Then after that, there was a sweet exchange between Nityananda Prabhu and Advaitacharya. Nityananda Prabhu said, I am fasting since 3 days and this cannot even fill 10% of my stomach. What? You have invited me for prasad and you are not feeding me anything? I think I have to fast today also. Then Advaitacharya says, you are avadhut sannyasi, you are a deviant sannyasi, you eat so much. You come and exploit the grahasthas. So like that, Advaitacharya starts speaking. This is the way to speak to a guest? Is this the way? But they have such exchanges. And Nityananda Prabhu just picked up some morsel and then he just started throwing it on the ground. Hey, I can't eat this. So you are feeding me like this. You are not sufficiently filling my belly. Then that remnants touched the body of Advaitacharya and Advaitacharya went into ecstasy. So you can behave like this with your friends if you go into ecstasy, devotional ecstasy, when you touch their remnants. So this is a proof that the exchange that is happening between Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Advaitacharya is not at our level. That's totally transcendental. So taking that, we cannot bring the frivolity there. Right? So that's happening in a different level, especially when we are dealing with some guru or seniors or counselors like that. So that is about apparent whatever familiarity, intimacy that's happening between higher devotional circles. So at our level, we have to follow sadachar. right? So familiarity could be with equals, juniors, seniors, guru, deities, Bhagavatam, holy name, holy dham. So like that we have seen different categories of familiarity. So I think we began with Bhagavatam, right? And deities also. These two we have discussed to a certain extent. So familiarity could be because of proximity, means close association, experience, pride, ignorance. It could be situational. All this we have discussed. And familiarity manifests as disrespect, anger, indifference, justice seeking, argumentation, right? I deserve this. You didn't give me this. Casual behavior, right? Offensive attitude. All this we have seen. Okay, now we will go to... So Bhagavatam we have seen, we need to have constantly remind ourselves of what is Bhagavatam. So because we are constantly reading Bhagavatam, we should not become familiar with this. Actually, just a couple of more points about Bhagavatam study. By studying Shastras, Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, whatever, Shastric study that you do, Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhu, Bhakti Vedanta, Bhakti Sarvabhama, all these degrees you may do. So you may constantly study the Shastra. So by constantly studying the Shastra, we are informed about our situation. You see, what is our situation in this world? Who am I? So Shastras discuss Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojan. So we understand, I am eternal servant of Krishna. I am part and parcel of Krishna. I am, potentially I am a pure devotee of Krishna. I am connected with Krishna in certain loving relationship. So that is informed to us. And Shastras do not stop there. They also inform us that you, means the soul has been entrapped in this material body, which is made of earth, water, fire, air, ether, man, buddhi, ahankar. Right? This is just a bag of urine, stool, mucus, bile, bones, blood, flesh, and all kinds of horrible substances are there within. Right? Nerves. So any kind of kapha vata pitta, any kind of little imbalance in that kapha vata pitta also will cause tremendous problem. So for a pure spirit soul to be entrapped in this horrible body is an insult. Parabhavastavada bodha jato yavanna jignasat atmatattvam. So we are being thoroughly bewildered and humbled and insulted by this material nature in this conditioned world. So scriptures constantly remind us about this. So by understanding this, one needs to develop humility. One needs to become humbled thoroughly. Scriptural study should increase one's humility, not pride. So we become familiar with the scriptures by regularly hearing them and studying them and explaining to people. So that is a positive way of relating with the scripture, positive way of associating with the scripture, becoming familiar with the scriptural teachings. So our familiarity with scripture should not induce pride in us, should induce humility in us. If our familiarity with the scripture is increasing our pride, we have not understood the essence of the scripture. If one really understands the essence of scriptural teachings, he will become humble. My God, I am like this and I have become like this. Such a horrible situation I am in. So that scriptural study, regular scriptural study especially, should increase our conviction on our conditioned state and should make us thoroughly humbled and should make us more and more determined to get out of this material body and inform others also very humbly. You are fallen and you are trapped like this. So material nature is making a fool out of us. It's insulting us thoroughly. Please, let us get out of this. So that is how we need to feel the sense of urgency. Right? But by constantly becoming familiar with By constantly reading scriptures and by developing familiarity with it, if we are thinking that, oh, I have mastered this, I have understood the philosophy, and if that is increasing pride, and if you are getting into argumentation with other so-called scholarly people and trying to see faults in others' presentations, someone is giving some shastric presentation and then few people, because they know so much, they sit in the audience, right, not to hear, not to learn, but to analyze and to evaluate the speaker. Of course, presentation evaluation in Vidyapeeth is bona fide. That is, your teachers are helping you to improve your quality of presentations. A teacher training course is there, recently we have conducted there. So those things are different. They are like bona fide things. But someone who has developed familiarity with the Shastra, so one way in which that familiarity, negative familiarity manifests is, he starts evaluating others' presentations. He is sharing his heartfelt presentations. As Chakravarti says like this, and this fellow is saying something else. And catch all right. I think he didn't read that point. Right? He's presenting only Prabhupada. He's not presenting Chakravarti Pad. So he's like this, he's like that. That kind of analytical mode, analytical way of listening happens. Right? So because I know so much, and I can clearly understand that this fellow doesn't know so much. Right? So that kind of, that familiarity, our familiarity with the Shastra will make, minimize the position of another Vaishnava. Now, for example, in my case, I can say, I have gone through the first canto quite a few times. At least 10 times I must have gone through. My first reading is there, second reading is there, and to teach some of the sections to Vidyapeeths over the batches, I have read it sometimes. And I was when I was making the overview notes and PowerPoint presentations and the flow charts, I went through it once. Then I was when working on Bhagavat Subodhini, right? I went through it once again. Then I was revising that Bhagavat Subodhini first edition, first volume. Again, I went through. And a recent couple of months only, 2-3 months, I spoke this first 3 chapters to this Thane batch, then Chopati, Kanpur, Kolkata, Pune. Just in the last couple of months, only 5 times I went through these first 3 chapters. But I can say 100% sure, I have a lot to learn in these first 3 chapters. In the first canto in general, and the first three chapters in specific. So every time I'm speaking, somebody would ask a question for which I don't know the answer. And maybe some other insight will be revealed to me. Just before going to presentation, you may kind of brush up something. You may see Unwilling Lotus Feet by Bhurjan Prabhu, and then some point, suddenly clicks. Although I have gone through the whole thing quite a few times, still one point clicks more now than in my previous 10 readings. Getting right? So you cannot completely comprehend the meaning of the Shastra. You can never claim a complete understanding of Shastra. Where is the question of your pride in Shastric study? Right? Where is the question of claiming a full understanding of Shastra? So, Shastra is meant to make you humble. One, by informing you your fallen condition in this material world repeatedly. Second, by revealing you your inability to understand the Shastra repeatedly. So Shastra repeatedly reveals us our inability to understand it properly. So this is a transcendental science. With my stupid intelligence or whatever, I am trying to understand it. It's very difficult. After 10 times reading also, you may, for example, your mathematics book or whatever, science book or physics or chemistry, whatever, books are there. After some readings, you may claim a full understanding of what is written in that book. Right? You may quote left, right, center, you may do that. But Shastra is not like that. You may study it multiple times. You may write books on it. You may speak on it hundreds of times. Still, you are not completely sure whether you have completely understood it or not. Because there is a lot more. It's not that one's understanding is wrong or something like that, and because I have not understood it, I will not speak, I will not write, I will not spread. That's not the point. Tathapi kirtayam yange yathamati yathashrutam, that is there. But one cannot claim a mastership over the subject matter of Shastra. It is transcendental subject matter. It is unlimited. So, because it is unlimited subject matter, and I am a limited personality with limited capacity, I can never claim a complete understanding of it. And from whatever I have understood that I am in such a lowly position in this world. So all these insights into Shastric study should make one humble, not become proud. Right? Our familiarity with the Shastra, our regular association with Shastra should not make one puffed up and should not make one judge other devotees, evaluate other devotees. So one should encourage other devotees to study the Shastra nicely, but one should not feel that I have a better understanding than him. So these are certain things we need to remind ourselves of our familiarity with Shastra. But this is very relevant for Vidyapeeths because no one on the planet is studying for 10 hours in a day. Like you are constantly in touch with sound vibration either through hearing or writing exam or studying and preparing or discussing or in so many ways, saloka recitation. In so many ways you are in touch with Shastra. So after 2 years, make sure that that converts into submissiveness, surrender and service attitude and humility, not a feeling of pride and becoming puffed up and other things. So that familiarity breeds contempt, right? That contempt towards Shastra, contempt towards other devotees, contempt towards the process also, right? If one understands so much, then he may even find some faults. I think this is not the right way of doing it. Someone has, something else is the right way. So we have some scholars also who are trying to find fault in the process proposed by the acharyas also. Right, I think this is the better way of proposing. So too much of intelligence will kill one's simplicity, right? So that is one important element to note down in Shastra's Shastric study. Next, deities. Deities I think we have discussed last time. So once Gauram Prabhu was giving an example, somebody was worshipping the deity, the Utsavamurti, small deities are there, na? So he was doing Abhishek or something, and then somehow he was not very careful, maybe because of oil or milk, something like that, the deity slipped off from his hand. Then the pujari is saying, "Haath se kidhar chut rahe khana, come back." I don't know about the Hindi, but he was saying that Hindi. So where are you running away from my hands, Karna? Come back. He is a sadhaka. He is supposed to do these upacharas and worship of the deities with respect and reverence. And he became very careful and dropped the deity and is manifesting Vatsalya Rasa. Right? Kana, where are you going away from my hands? Like Yashoda Mai asks, na? Or gopis might say, he becomes like that. So that is familiarity. So one unnecessarily imagines his closeness towards the deities and forgets where he is and where the deities are. Right? One imagines closeness. One imagines Raganuga stage, Ragatmika stage. Right? That is Kanishta. Right? Kanishta means what? So much of love and affection for the deities and ignoring indifference towards other devotees. Like that. So devotee means he has faults. Right? He is not perfect. He has this problem. Like that. Devotee analyzes. Deity means, oh, my worshipable deity, my dear deity, he understands me. He always smiles at me. So that is one thing. That is Kanishta mentality. On the other hand, if one ignores the deity, Krishna, and then says, God is Guru. That is Mayavad. So these are extremes, right? So our close acquaintance with any of these items, undue acquaintance, will induce this kind of Mayavadic tendencies or Kanishta mentality. So Next, we will see about Guru. I think we can go to Guru, the speaker, hearer. Now we have hardly 10 minutes. I will not get into this topic. So speaker and hearer. So we have seen in Bhagavatam several times that the hearer of Bhagavatam has sufficient respect for the speaker of Bhagavatam. Not only that, the speaker of Bhagavatam, whether it is Suta Goswami or Maitreya Muni or Sukadeva Goswami, they also have sufficient respect for the hearer. Generally, sometimes the speaker may lose respect for the audience who are actually giving him an opportunity to be Krishna conscious for 1 hour. So speaking Krishna Katha is not just showing off one's knowledge. Speaking Krishna Katha means trying to be Krishna conscious for 1 hour, or in a Vidyapit class 3 hours, whatever. While speaking, one can't be spaced out, right? He's speaking Krishna Katha, he has to be attentive. He can't doze off. Krishna Padhyam Bhakta Hridi. So like that, while reciting verse, he can't just doze off. Right? So he has to be a little attentive. So basically, attentively, he is trying to remember Krishna and describe Krishna. That is an opportunity for him to be Krishna conscious for whatever time he is speaking. And who is giving him that opportunity? Attentive audience. And when the audience are very attentive and trying to listen very carefully, then the speaker gets more inspiration to speak better. Means what? More inspiration to describe Krishna, to glorify Krishna. So, a attentive audience and a sincere speaker will mutually glorify Krishna very nicely. So, one should have respect and reverence for each other. So, many times you see Maitreya Muni. Maitreya Muni offers respect to Vidura. Because of you, I am able to speak Krishna Katha. And Vidura offers respect to Maitreya. Because of you, my dear Maitreya, I could hear Krishna Katha. So this is the mutual respect they both are having. So speaker should not think that I am great and these fellows don't know anything, they are trying to learn from me. And sometimes audience might also think, kuch audience nahi yaar, main jaake baithta hu. Right? The speaker will be little encouraged. Sometimes we have to gather audience also. Sometimes the speaker comes and sits and then an audience do not manifest and we have to encourage, push people, are aja yaar, baith jao, koi nahi yaar, baith jao, baith jao, baith jao. Like that we create audience. And then audience are thinking that we are doing a great favor upon the speaker. Agar hum nahi hai to class cancel ho jata tha. Right? Hum aa gaya, isliye class ho rahe. So like that speaker might minimize the position of audience. Audience might minimize the position of speaker because of the familiarity with this whole process of this thing. So one should, when the audience and speaker both are having mutual respect for each other and respect for the subject matter that is being discussed, that discussion of Krishna Katha is amazing, wonderful. Tanno Bhavan Vai Bhagavat Pradhano Mahattamaikanta Parayanasya Hare Rudaram Charitam Vishuddham Susrushatamno Vitanotu Vidvan. So the quality of speaker is Bhagavat Pradhano. He has Krishna as the only object of his worship. Bhagavat Pradhano. Then audience are Susrushatamno. They're very eager to hear Krishna Katha. And the subject matter is Harer Udaram Charitam Vishuddham. The Lord's magnanimous qualities in pastimes. Now you see, Vidura is saying, Durapa Hyalpatapasa Seva Vaikuntha Vartmasu. Yatropagiyate Nityam Devadevo Janardanaha. Durapahi Alpatapasa. It is extremely difficult for one who is having meager austerity to be able to hear from you or serve you. Seva Vaikuntha Vartmasu. Yatropagiyate Nityam Devo Devo Janardanaha. So to get an opportunity to render service to a devotee or to hear from a devotee is the most rarely attainable position in the entire creation. And we are fortunate enough to be able to hear, to be able to serve a devotee. So that is a very extremely rare thing. Now, Vidura, for Vidura it was very rare. for Vidura to hear third canto, how much he had to undergo? Whole life he had spent counseling Dhritarashtra and he never listened to him only. The whole life you are counseling one fellow and that counselee is not acting like a counselee only. He'll just nod head and then keep quiet. Doesn't do anything. That's even more frustrating. Somebody is listening to you constantly and doesn't act on it. That's so frustrating. And Vidura has experienced that frustration throughout his life. And he's in the midst of this Shakuni, Dushyasan, Karana, Duryodhan, this kind of all horrible fellows are there. Constantly he's scheming and his plans, his personal plans are not being successful. Right? So in that frustration, after so much of frustration, Vidura got some opportunity to hear Krishna Katha. Is it not? How much he had to undergo? And we are hearing third canto just like that. We just got the opportunity. We just entered ashram. And then some of our devotees, here our Premanyan Prabhu, Rasik Gaurari Prabhu, Manmohan Prabhu, Harigopal Prabhu, who else is attending? Radha Madan Gopal Prabhu, Srishtapati Prabhu. So all of them are attending. So 5-6 years they have served a lot. Here in GEV, construction, then whatever, altar making, in various capacities they were serving so much, kitchen, so much of management. So here kitchen means so many types of prasad they have to make, so many places, guest, vidyapits, then who else, ashram, gurukul, sometimes congregation, workers, employees, 3 times, 2 times now, recently. So he has been managing all that. So after going through so much, now he's getting some opportunity to hear Krishna Katha. So because we get some opportunity very easily, we may tend to take it cheaply. Right? So we need to give utmost importance to the opportunity. So Vidura had to undergo so much. It's not so easy for him to take this. So now here point is, Vidura is not taking Maitreya cheaply. Right? So Maitreya, you are sitting alone. I have come here so that you can get an opportunity to speak something. He was not like that. He was very extremely grateful to Maitreya. And see what Maitreya says. Satsevaniyo batapurvamsho yal... Yallokapalo bhagavat pradhana... बभूवितेहाजितकीर्तिमालाम् पदे पदे नूतनयत्य भीक्ष्णम् सत्सेवनीयो बत पूरुवंशो. So you are coming from the dynasty of Puru. So they are all glorious people, right? Why they are glorious? Bhagavat Pradhanah. All of you have the Supreme Lord as the topmost object of your life. Bhagavat Pradhana. For you, Krishna is number one. Your family, dynasty, and other political affairs, this and that are number two, number three, number four, number five, like that. You always kept Krishna as number one. Right? Babhuvitehajata kirtimalam pade pade nutanyatya bhikshnam. Because you are inquiring from me so wonderfully, we are able to make the mala, garland of Lord's glories. That is kirtimalam. So kirtimalam. So your questions are allowing me to make a kirti mala. So pade pade nutayanayatya abhikshnam. Pade pade is repeatedly, again and again. Abhikshnam means constantly. Is it not? Constantly. So because of your eagerness to hear Krishna Katha is becoming newer and newer constantly. So that is Maitreya Muni's gratitude towards Vidura. So there was no familiarity between Maitreya and Vidura. They were respectful towards each other. So that is the glory of all these speakers and hearers of Bhagavatam. So what other points that we can discuss? We are almost going out of time. But one more point I will say. We started late. Ne? So Vidura... Uddhava. So guru point I'll just begin and then you can end with that. I'll begin and we'll continue later. So this is an example of the assembly of Indra, Swarga. So Indra was sitting there in his royal palace in the Swargalok, and Brihaspati came. Brihaspati is who? Who is Brihaspati? The spiritual master of demigods. So he entered the assembly. And Indra thought, kal aaya tha, parso bhi aaya tha, uske pehle bhi aaya tha, aaj bhi aa gaya. So what a big deal. Daily has been coming. So he didn't do anything. He didn't stand up. He didn't speak sweet words. He didn't offer him worship. He didn't offer him a seat. He didn't do anything to respect Brihaspati. So Brihaspati understood. Chad gaya. So this fellow has become puffed up. He didn't speak a single word. Silently went out. See, he's going out. Then immediately Indra understood. My God, I did some mistake. See, again, in the beginning, what we were discussing? Acting appropriately at the spur of the moment. Right? When the situation comes, you need to respond to the situation appropriately then only, not later. So he could not receive Brihaspati properly. He could not respect him when the right time was there in front of him. He just was sitting silently, and as soon as Brihaspati left, Indra became very morose, very regretful. Indra immediately came back to him and said, "Hey, my guru is there. I couldn't respect him. In the next session, we will discuss how much Indra lamented for this. What all he had to undergo, and what Brihaspati has done actually, right? And how Brahmaji chastised him. All that details." We'll go into finer details and discuss in the next session, whenever we meet, whenever Madhav Gopal Prabhu gets busy. So, but to conclude, generally, in the beginning days of our Krishna consciousness, we have very simple attitude. We have a lot of simplicity and innocence, right? When a senior person says, although he's 1 year senior or 2 year senior or whatever, when some senior person says something, we have the innocence and simplicity to accept that suggestion and then act upon it. We're very sincere. But as we spend few years, 1 year, 2 year, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, so as our spending of time in the process increases, we become more and more closer and familiar with some seniors, and then try to act as if they are our peers. Right? So intimacy will develop, no doubt. But that intimacy should not become familiarity that breeds to contempt. Familiarity will develop, but that should not breed contempt. So that is the point we are saying. So now a disciple is there. Initially, he's very respectful, very reverential. He's constantly looking forward for initiation. When will the initiation come? When will my name come? Right? So to come in contact with Guru, to come in contact with the shelter of Guru, he hankers a lot. Not only Guru, Siksha Guru, some counselor. I have to enter his counseling group. Right? Will he accept me? Right? Will he accept me into this meeting? Will he accept me into this temple? So like that, we are constantly looking forward for the mercy of a senior personality, whether it is Guru or representative of Guru, whoever. But once we get access to all of them, and when we become familiar with all those facilities that we are given access to, then we may tend to take cheaply the association of the person who actually allowed us entrance into all of that. Right? So that initial innocence and simplicity will be lost. And after one gains some popularity, some fan following, and some image amongst people, so he also starts thinking that he may, I'm as good as this senior person who has guided me. So yesterday, or this 3-4 days, I was hearing from Radhesham Prabhu. He was giving one example of guru-disciple thing. Not a live example, he was just giving the principle. Now, even Gauram Prabhu also mentioned this in one of our recent Vidyapit classes, that the world is such that people are carried away by the popularity. For example, somebody, some very senior devotee, senior sannyasi who has spent, you know, 30 years, 40 years in the movement, he may not have a Facebook account. He may not have so many videos uploaded on the YouTube, right? So he's not so popular on the internet. But a new bhakta may come, right? Someone who has spent just few years. So he may be active on the internet. He may be tech savvy. What he is posting will get more likes on the Facebook. The videos or whatever that he has uploaded will have more viewership, right? So that doesn't mean that he is more spiritually advanced than the other person who may have less Facebook likes, less viewership on the YouTube, or he may not have web presence so much. So this material success cannot be the measure of one's spiritual advancement. Who is viewing for what on the YouTube, God knows. Now, who is pressing likes for what post on the Facebook, God knows. Right? So that cannot be the measure of one's success. The material success or material popularity can never be the measure of one's spiritual success. The very fact that someone has spent more time than you in the spiritual process of Krishna consciousness makes him more advanced than you. Right? Of course, we are not saying that just mere time or number of years. Our conditioned mentality makes us think that, oh, I have spent more number of years than so-and-so fellow, he is supposed to consider me as more senior and more person who deserves respect. And when we are saying the other point, that you have to respect other person, right, we should not become, senior should not become proud, we try to apply to other party. So basically, we always want to be in a position which is blameless, right? This applies to my senior, this principle applies to my junior. I am in the right consciousness. So one may think so, one may tend to think so. So here the point is, when I am someone who is younger than a person who has spent more time in Krishna consciousness, I am supposed to give him more respect. Now, he has spent more number of years in Krishna consciousness. I am not sure whether I will stay till that time or not. So that is how one should think. And if you happen to spend more time than someone else, we should think that time is not the criteria. Number of years spent in the movement is not the criteria. He is doing so much service, I should encourage him. Getting right? If someone is getting apparently more success than you, although he is your junior to you, respect him. If someone is not having more material success like you, but because he is senior, respect him. Principle is respect everyone. Amanina maradena. Getting right? So try to apply these principles to oneself than imposing on others. Like that. So these are few thoughts. Thank you all very much. So we will continue some other time.